Yeah. Uh-huh. Preach it, Brother Michael. Preach it.
Wake up, America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America.
It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
Yep. Yep. Hold your kitties tight. It's a cold night here in Wyoming. This is Michael Dean, and it is most definitely after dark. And I have my co-host here tonight, Diana Kyler. How you doing, Diana?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here again.
Yeah, and you're pounding coffee in a non-legal, full-capacity magazine, right?
Absolutely.
As Lusander Fiend is wont to say. Yeah, and I got a correction from yesterday. When I was talking with Davi, we were mistaken about Lakota rounds, the silver rounds. The silver that I was describing that looks like the buffalo head nickel but bigger in silver that doesn't have any name of any mint on it is not Lakota rounds. And Lakota rounds, Lakota mint, whatever it is not the Lakota Nation. It's not Native American silver. And Ben Stone said he lost some money on that. They were kind of like a mint, but kind of like a bank too, which is kind of weird to me. I don't know why you would want to buy precious metals or Bitcoin and have them stored somewhere else. I think the whole point is to have them in your hand. So you should go to Midas Resources through the link on freedomfiends.com and get your gold and silver and get it into your hands. And if you buy Bitcoin or Namecoin from an exchange, I think you should immediately transfer it to a wallet that you have backed up several places securely with a password. And, you know, if you're going to do things that get rid of the idea of a central bank, why have them in some central bank, you know? What do you think, Diana?
I fully agree. I recently bought some silver.
Silver's nice.
Yeah, I have a minor Year of the Horse, and they have a cool picture of a horse on there.
Yes.
Filthy lucre.
Yeah.
Love that sound.
Yeah, I have 20 pieces of silver. You know the price that Jesus was sold out for in the Bible, 30 pieces of silver. Do you know the significance 30. Of that amount?
30 pieces of silver. I'm trying to think.
It was the price of a slave.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of precious Bitcoin commodities, you went to the Bitcoin Hootenanny in Toronto, and we had you on the Fiends talking about it, but you weren't on long enough to really tell. You want to take off where you left off? I think you were listening to Jeffrey Tucker last time we heard.
Yeah, I think I pretty much got through most everything that Jeffrey Tucker said. I can go back and summarize a little bit. I mentioned on the Fiends that he was very dynamic speaker, got me very fired up. He's very poetic, you know, very well-spoken. He doesn't say like, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. He's very, very good speaker. Let's see.
However, it's interesting to me that he's such a precise, concise speaker and writer, and but he did something that was very unconcise, which was he wrote this article about libertarian brutalism and didn't say that it was about four particular people. And you and I and everybody else in Liberty thought it was about us, you know, I got mad at it. And, you know, I thought it was just about anybody who doesn't speak correctly and wear a bow tie, or who says like too much, you know, because he was unconcise by not saying it was about particular people, which is, I think that is a major faux pas for a guy who's otherwise usually very concise and precise.
So do you think that he should have called out certain people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Or at least made it clearer he was talking about a handful, you could count them on one hand, group of people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a brutalist, and I certainly don't wear a bow tie, and I don't, you know, have bourbon for breakfast and that kind of thing. but yeah, I mean, I try to be, I don't know. I don't know how I would describe myself. I mean, I if someone asks me, I'll tell them what I think. And I used to be a lot more afraid of that, but now I'm not. I don't know if that's something that came with age or what, but, you know, I'm not afraid to tell people what I think. And but I try to do it in a way where I'm like, yep, this is my opinion. And I, you know, that doesn't mean I think you're wrong, but this is just what I think, you know. And
well, it seems to me like there's a new school of libertarian arguing on sites like Face Beef, which is what Nikki Darling and I are calling Facebook now, because there's so much beefing on there. I don't even go on there.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that all these newly minted libertarians are coming out and trying to knock the old guard off their throne. And, you know, to some of these people, like Jeffrey Tucker is certainly the old guard, but to some of these people, I'm the old guard. And I welcome them to try to knock me off, but I want to teach them how to do good audio first so they have something worth replacing me with. Because I've been hearing so many new podcasts lately that sound horrible. They sound like tin cans calling from the bottom of a well, and they're, you know, they're not even. The other thing is, if an audio production is only available as a video on YouTube, it's not really a podcast, because the whole point of audio, you need to have an MP3 of it that's on an RSS feed to have it be a podcast and have the usefulness of a podcast. The usefulness of a podcast is if there's somebody you like hearing talking and they regularly put stuff up that you dig, you can download it and put it on your pod and listen to it when you're not sitting in front of a computer. You know, you want it portable. That's the whole point. That's how you replace radio. You don't replace radio by having it on YouTube where you have to watch it. And really, watching most people do spoken media is about as interesting as watching someone check their email. So,
is there anybody in particular you have in mind?
I don't want to bash anybody. I don't know. There's I saw something tonight that was called Rebel Love Podcast that was really the content was really good. It was brand new. It was like their fourth episode. And Antigone Darling, who's a seasoned old guard pro, was on there with them. And DJ, don't trip on that wire. my wife came in. I'm lying down on the bed, yakking. I'm yakking on the radio while like lying on my bed. I'm talking to my friend on the phone, and we're talking. You know, you had to put a note on your mic, didn't you? What did it say? What was it going to say?
I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
And don't forget you're on the radio.
Yeah, and it wasn't to remind you not to cuss, because you cannot cuss, but it's to remind you there are people listening other than just you yakking to your friend. Yeah.
Right. So you're saying we can't gossip about people? I mean, that's what I really like to do.
Okay, well, there's these guys called Rebel Love Pod, and their content's pretty good, but the audio is really horrible. And the bizarre thing is they're using really expensive, nice microphones. The Woodpecker microphone by, I forget who makes it, but they're pretty expensive and they're really good. They're probably almost too good because they're picking up too much background noise. But I posted on their YouTube, hey, good content. If you guys want some audio tips, drop me an email. And that's actually how I met Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. I wrote him and said exactly that to him.
Right.
And we've become best friends, and I helped his audio too.
Yeah, he's such a nice person.
Yeah, like
That was my first actual chance to talk to him, and the other day on Sunday on the Fiends, and you know, we talked a little bit off air, and he's so pleasant.
Yeah, yeah, he really is. Yeah, he's kind of got a Zen quality to him, I guess I'd say. You know,
yeah,
but he can get angry too. I've heard him get angry.
Yeah, yeah, I heard him get angry about the Constitution the other night.
The Constitution.
Exactly.
There's a Ben, did you hear the thing on the School Sucks podcast where they the interview with me? I really loved the way he put it together. It kind of sounded like NPR meets Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the introduction he did. I think Brett is great. But he used that thing of Ben and I sounding like old men talking to each other.
Oh, Ben. Yeah. That was funny.
Gotta get back to the Constitution. Yeah.
You young whippersnappers.
Yeah, and I liked what Brett said. He said, you know, this isn't making fun of old people. It's making fun of old ideas. Old people are all right. Be nice to them. Don't be mean to them. Take them to the movies. Listen to their stories. I thought that was great. I like Brett a lot.
Respect your elders.
Yeah, yeah. Brett's part of the up-and-coming. I mean, he's been doing it a long time, but I really think he's going to be – I don't know if a star is the word, but I really think he is a move. He's going to become a really front and center mover and shaker in audio and learning.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the whole thing because it was during my lunch break today, but I enjoyed what I heard.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I heard was you talking about being in school.
Yeah.
And the problems that you had in school and the, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Here's some behind the scenes stuff. Is Brett wanted to call that episode Michael Dean had a troubled childhood. And I said, I don't want to call it that because that's not true. And he's like, well, it's a joke. My listeners will get it. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm also a gun activist. And this is the kind of like temperature of society where you don't want someone searching you. And the first thing they find is something that makes you sound like a mental case, because I'm not. And I wasn't. I was not a troubled child. I was kind of a troubled young adult when I started drinking, but I've been sober for almost 20 years. And have gotten consistently better and happier. But I was not a troubled child. It just bothered me that I had to go to school because I was smarter and I could have learned more in a library in a lot less time.
Yeah. Yeah. I always kind of felt like that too.
Yeah. School's a waste of time. Education's great, but school's a waste of time. For me, at least, it was.
Yeah. I was one of those students that would never do my homework. And I mean, I just thought that was a waste of time. And I would, you know, I would go to class, but I would barely listen. And then when we would go to take the test, I would ace the test.
Yeah.
But I didn't make good grades because I didn't do my homework.
Huh. So back to the Bitcoin conference. Did you hear Cody Wilson speak?
I did. And
did he say
You know, he didn't really. It was, you know, he's one of these people. I don't think he did. He might have once or twice. He's one of these people that talks like he is, a competitor in a poetry slam. and also kind of reminded me a little bit of Christopher Walken. his manner of speaking. He's very interesting. Kind of hard to keep up with, though. He uses he kind of jumps from one thing to another. He's a really interesting guy. I actually saw him at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, and
let's hold that thought, and when we come back, we'll have more on Michael Dean After Dark. You can call in if you want, if you know the number, or the Skype, Worms.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Good evening, groovy guys and groovy gals. This is Michael Dean After Dark. It is After Dark, and it is Michael Dean. And you can call in. The number's 1-855-660-4261. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, that's 1-855-660-4261. Or you can Skype to kittyfeet1. That's like the feet of a cat. kittyfeet.com. kittyfeet1. So, Diana, we're talking about Cody Wilson, the printable gun guy, and hearing him speak. Was it an inspiration?
Just a cool guy. I don't know. I mean, I didn't actually get to speak with him, but he's one of these kind of interesting characters that you just kind of want to know more about.
The women want to be with him, and the men want to be him.
he's kind of handsome, I will say.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah, you know, I was the first person to interview him ever.
Yeah.
That's all that's on my resume. That'll be on my tombstone. The greatest accomplishment of my life. Michael Dean, he interviewed Cody Wilson once. First.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Defense distributed.
I do more than that. I actually tried to get him into doing .bit. I have defense. I have defdist.bit. You know, I registered a lot of Liberty People's .bit domain names and am not offering them for money to them. I'm offering them free, and I'm offering them free tech support, and very few of them have taken me up on it, which is kind of surprising because when the government starts seizing .com and .org and other .dot domains, they're going to wish they come. Then I'll start charging them money, probably.
Yeah. I have several domains already.
Oh, yeah. Do any of them resolve to anything?
Not yet.
Yeah, you got to set that up. You know, there's a – someone made a .dot bit proxy, which is pretty cool. There have been a few of these, but most of them didn't work very well. But you can go to this site. It's bit.no.com, bitno.com, bit.no.com. And you have to leave in the http://, but then if you put in any working .bit address, it'll pull it up for you without having Namecoin or Meowbit installed, which is kind of – it would seem kind of weird that I'm promoting this. Because it's kind of like, oh, doesn't that put your free product out of business with this other free product? And I'm like, not really, because it doesn't offer the full security of the distributed database sense of using a .bit domain. Because with Namecoin and Meowbit, you know, there's not one person they can take down a website. This is one guy, and someone could take down either his domain name or his server, or do a man-in-the-middle attack. But it's kind of neat as it is now because it's kind of like training wheels for .bit. Like you could actually check out some .bit sites without having to install some software and just check it out. And I wrote the about page for his site too. He's a cool guy. I've been chatting with him. I like him. So that's bit.no.com.
Cool.
Yeah. So who else spoke at the Bitcoin Hootenanny in Canada?
Well, there were several panels. David Johnson of Bit Angels. Bit Angels. He was there. And Stephanie Murphy had a really interesting talk about women and Bitcoin. She wanted to make it very clear that she's not a feminist.
Really?
Yeah.
Her boyfriend's a feminist. How's that work out?
I'm not sure.
He said he's a feminist.
Yeah. I haven't gone into any kind of detail talking to him, either one of them, about that and how, you know, that affects their relationship and how they get along around that. But, you know, I thought she did a really good job. You know,
well, what'd she say about women in Bitcoin?
Well, she said, you know, clearly not as many women are as involved with Bitcoin as men. You know, talked a lot about it's, you know, user neutral and gender neutral. It doesn't know if you're a man or a woman, black or white, whatever. You know, that, you know, in order to encourage more women, I guess, to use Bitcoin, you know, to talk really, you know, she kept kind of referring back to, you know, not really so much isolating women as much as individuals. You know, we're all individuals regardless of what our gender is.
And yeah, I wonder if somebody else wrote the title of that thing. It doesn't seem like something she'd do, women and anything, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
She's always kind of like, it's a level playing ground anyway, and women don't need to be, you know, pointed out as special. But
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. We'll have more when we come back.
Okay.
About Bitcoin and Stephanie Murphy with Diana on Michael Dean After Dark.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
This is the talk radio show that talks back, which is really weird if you're listening and you have mental issues, because mentally ill people often think the radio is talking directly to them. And on Michael Dean After Dark, that's what all our promos and liners say. Yes, we're speaking to you. Yes, you, directly to you. We're talking into your cerebellum and projecting your thoughts into space. And if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, you could call in. And we have a caller. We have a caller calling from Quebec, and his name is Pablo. How you doing there, Pablo?
Hello. My name is Pablo, and I was very excited to call today because I was at the Bitcoin Expo, same place as Diana.
Did you meet her?
I don't know. I was looking at all the beautiful women out there, and I think the most beautifulest must have been Diana.
Oh, you're flirting with our co-hosts. I like that.
Well, stop. She has a beautiful voice.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a picture of her on the Michael Dean After Dark site. If you go back a few pages, it's her surrounded by cats that we photoshopped in, so they look like they're in her hair or something. So, what's on your mind, Pablo?
I was calling because I know you do the meow bit, right?
Yeah, that's Derek Slopey and I.
All right. Well, meow bit is good because it helps you distribute the whole domain name, and you can access the websites without without the central authority.
Yeah.
And what I found out at the expo where Diana was is that there's many other companies that are trying to do the same thing with everything else. Finance, money with the Bitcoin and Amazon and Etsy. I mean, you name it, Craigslist, all of these companies, which are big today, are just like, ICANN, where there's central place where you go for one place to get all of, the Craigslist information. Well, tomorrow there will be a distributed Craigslist that cannot be shut down, just like Malbit provides, domain access that cannot be shut down. The internet will belong to all of us again.
Do you mean tomorrow, like Tuesday, or tomorrow, or Thursday, or tomorrow in the not too distant future?
Well, maybe tomorrow, like 2 years from now.
Okay. Give me an example, because this is sort of news to me, and I try to be on the forefront of knowing about these things. What do you mean exactly?
It is very new. It's what's called Bitcoin 2.0, or another a term you can search, you can Google, is decentralized autonomous organization. So three words: decentralized, meaning that there's no server anywhere; autonomous, meaning once the software is released, it lives on its own, and it's an organization. It does something with the data. So, for example, if you have an author today, I write a book, right, and I'm looking for someone who might want to buy my book. Well, today I go to Amazon and essentially, I give my book to Amazon. Amazon sells my book, and Amazon gives me a bit of money, right, when you buy my book. Well, tomorrow, you can buy my book directly from me. The reason you don't buy my book today is because, you don't trust me. You don't want to give me your credit card number, but you gave your credit card number to Amazon or to PayPal or something, right?
Yeah.
And so you pay me directly with Bitcoin. You get my book. And now Amazon, all they do, I mean, if I want to hire them to ship my book or wrap my book in fancy paper and all that, then I hire Amazon. But I'm in control of the money. That is a big difference.
I like it. What are some of the protocols or softwares that would be used to do this?
One of the very, very, what was it called? Diana, you were there. What is it? Ethereum, right?
Ethereum.
Yeah. There you go. Yep.
Yeah, Ethereum. I'm still waiting to see. Like, I downloaded their source code and ran it. Well, the first three times it crashed, and I finally got it to run, and I just kind of looked at it, and it was a bunch of numbers spinning by, and it may be ready for prime time for programmers, but it's not ready for prime time for me, and I'm smarter than a lot of people who use computers, so I didn't get it. I've seen a lot of presentations and videos, and it looks world-changing, but I'm yet to see any example of it being used. Are there examples of it being used, or is it still in alpha?
There's no example. It's still alpha.
Yeah, it's still in alpha, definitely.
So it's
everybody's
like,
waiting for it.
It's like the flying car or something.
Let me give you another one. Counterparty.
Okay.
Counterparty.co. That this one exists. This one you can download and run on your computer very easily.
Huh. What does it do?
This one allows you to create Michael Dean After Dark shares. People who know that one day you will be on the late night show running, you know, on primetime TV, they can invest money in you, and you can issue shares in your own enterprise or business without having to go to NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange.
Now, do you think that that's going to be attacked by things like the Security and Exchange Commissions, the way that, I can see how you could have a distributed thing that would be really hard to find, but are they? Does this come under traditional stock laws is what I'm saying?
Well, right now it doesn't because it's so small that nobody knows about it. Tomorrow it's going to be like Bitcoin where some people start to realize that it's becoming important, and before the government knows what's going on, their money is worthless and the Bitcoins are gaining value.
I've always thought that the ultimate use for .bit domains would be for something like this, or like a poker site that uses Bitcoin. You know, I don't look at Namecoin as a competitor to Bitcoin. I look at it as something that makes it even better because, you know, the main thing with Bitcoin is they always shut down the sites. And with Namecoin, with a .bit, you could move it anywhere you want. It's not invisible. It's, you know, the way that, you know, using Tor is more invisible. And the thing is, too, like a lot of people don't realize with Tor, Tor hides the website owner location, but it doesn't by default, it does not hide the viewer's location, which is a lot of people misunderstand that. They think, oh, I'm using Tor. No one can see what I'm browsing. No, they can see what you're browsing pretty easily. They just can't see the source of where the website is that you're browsing. But I really, here's what I'm wondering is like with things like Counterparty and Ethereum, would it be useful for sites that use these protocols to be hosted on .bit sites, or do they eliminate the need for .bit?
It even eliminates the need for .bit. So on the Friday, or was that Friday or Thursday? Whatever. The first day of the conference, there was a hackathon. And during the hackathon, there was an individual who wrote the beginning of the source code, but it was a working version of a distributed Silk Road.
So you know about the Silk Road. That was Amir. Amir wrote that.
What's his name again?
Amir Ataki.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes.
Now, see, I am very invested in Namecoin and getting .bit accepted, but I would love it to be put out of business. I would love there to be no need for it. The thing is, nothing has really come along yet. I kind of feel like people should be adopting .bit as a bridge to when these flying cars actually exist. You know, because there's a bunch of flying cars out there. There's also something called MadeSafe, MadeSafe. Yeah. Do you know about that?
Yes, MadeSafe is also very exciting. Essentially, what all of these products are doing, they are distributing the web. What, you know, the web was a big revolution in the 1990s. And what we are seeing now is the next wave. It's known again as Bitcoin 2.0, but it's way beyond Bitcoin. It is redistributing everything we take for granted today on the web, information, services, processing power, and it's decentralizing it across, you know, thousands and one day hundreds of thousands and millions of computers.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, instead of going to, you know, some Onion website where the Silk Road is hosted, you're just going to run a piece of software on your computer that's going to connect to thousands of computers directly, and you're going to find what you're looking for, whether it's my book. Instead of going to Amazon, you're going to search for it on your computer, and your computer will find the book you're looking for. And your computer will find whatever people buy on the Silk Road, except it's not going to be the Silk Road. It's going to be this distributed marketplace that your computer directly connects to the seller, and there will not be a need for a centralized server like we know about today.
I really like the idea of it. I mean, I love the idea of the web when it first came out. I got on it very early in the early 90s, you know, 94, 95, 96. I had a website in 96 and was sharing MP3s of spoken audio before podcasting on the web in like 97, late 97. So I jumped on it, and it really seemed revolutionary to me because it took away the gatekeeper idea of, you know, one thing is a really interesting thing for me about gatekeepers and central authority was that I was in a rock band that like put out some independent records, and then we got signed to Warner Brothers, and then it basically getting signed to Warner Brothers killed the band. You know, that was kind of the beginning of the end of the band. And a major label is such such an authority, such a, like, you have to, you know, be chosen out of the crowd, like picked, like, yes, you, you know, out of thousands of people. And then, like, even then, it doesn't necessarily mean your life's going to change at all. And I was really happy, like, soon after that, you know, file sharing came along, and I was so mad at Warner Brothers that I was just like, yeah, man, Napster rules.
Yeah.
But Napster was really hard to use, and then BitTorrent came along, and I was like, this is it. I mean, when we're done with this show tonight, I'm going to upload it. And actually, like, our website has been going down all day, on and off, the whole HostGator has, which is really rare. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was a denial of service attack. But I don't even know if I can upload it to the website tonight. But at the end of each, this is the last show of the week, live show of the week of this, and I put all four of them up on BitTorrent. And we have people that have an RSS feed of the BitTorrent and download it. And it's like, it's out there and can't be taken down. Like, if my website got taken down permanently and I got murdered, it would all still be out there. And I love BitTorrent for that too. So, like, I'll be able to share this episode to people without even the website being up. And so I really liked the web when it came out, but I still had a sense of a hierarchy with it. In the fact that, you know, things come from a server somewhere, and you can also, you can put it on the cloud, you can have cloud servers where it's on different servers, but you know, you're still dependent on that one domain, you know, the domain name that's controlled by one central agency where any government goon can, even without a court order, could just get it taken down. Do you want to stick around for more, Pablo?
Sure.
Cool, man. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, call in. You know the number. Hey, this is Michael Dean on Michael Dean After Dark. And I think we switched gears during the break. We're going to talk about the singularity. And what is that, Diana?
The singularity. The singularity represents a time in the future. And I think it was coined by Ray Kurzweil regarding it's a way of referring to an event horizon. It's going to be a time in the future when technology is going to reach a point where it's just going to take off on its own, essentially, and it's probably going to involve a lot of artificial intelligence. I was actually watching a YouTube video earlier that where he was talking about by the year 2029. Will have reverse engineered the entire human brain. And
is that the date he's given now? Because in his book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, that I read about 20 years ago, he estimated the date 2040.
Yeah, 2040, I think, is going to be around the time of the actual singularity. But, you know, there's going to be several events that will happen that will lead up to that.
So basically, one of the things, the ideas of it is that computers will be smarter than humans and people will be able to upload their consciousness into machines, right? Those are two of the definitions of what the singularity includes, right?
Yeah, and there's actually a new movie coming out about that. It's called Transcendence.
Yeah, I think there was an old movie that came out about that. I think it's called Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Kurzweil, I've been a big fan of him for a long time, but I really think he's, you know, Dr. Charles Dyson from Terminator 2, you know, and I'm not saying I'm not anti-transhumanist. I'm not anti-merging human consciousness with machines. I think it's a kind of a neat idea. I'd like to upload myself to the blockchain. You know, we were joking about this on a show one time, like, you know, for Christians, you'd have something called Soul Coin where you could upload your upload.
Right.
And then like for, you know, agnostics, you'd have something called like Mind Coin. But, I don't know, man. Kurzweil is an amazing visionary. I mean, the guy was very instrumental, you know, and he's not just a theorist. He's not somebody with vaporware. He's not somebody who's got this grand scheme for flying cars. Like, that guy helped invent musical synthesizers. He invented optical character recognition. He helped he helped invent voice to text synthesis and text to voice recognition. He has made equipment that allows blind people to read. He's a very visionary guy, and you know, he's been writing books for as long as he's been inventing. He also made a computer program that can analyze poetry by poets and then create poetry in the style of those poets, which is pretty creepy and mind blowing. And almost gets it right.
Yeah, I think that might be the idea that he has in regards to uploading his father's, his deceased father's information. He's got all of this. He's got all his father's old letters.
Yeah,
and
I
lots
mean,
of memorabilia, things like that.
There's a difference between creating a program that resembles somebody's reactions and can pass the Turing test and actually resurrecting the person. You know, the Turing test, the Turing test is a test of, you know, can a computer fool a human into thinking that it's a real human? I mean, an example is like sometimes now when you go get tech support online for your web host or something and you're typing to something, you're not actually typing to a person. There's a little picture of a woman or a man there and it says, my name is Bill or my name is Sally, but you're actually typing to a computer. And you can type 10 or 20 questions and get 10 or 20 answers with these things before you start going, no, don't you understand? And that's the point at which it fails the Turing test. There's actually a t-shirt that a lot of nerds wear that says, I failed the Turing test, which is kind of funny because it's basically saying, I'm so smart, I'm a robot. But just having, you know, just having a computer that could have a text conversation that is very much like what your father would say is not the same as your father.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll be back more in hour two on Michael Dean After Dark, talking about how to upload yourself into the Namecoin blockchain. After Dark.
Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The United States government presents
no vision can grasp.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
It is hour two of Michael Dean After Dark. And I'm looking at a news item that New Standard Fiend just sent me, that the Army College, which is a think tank and actual college that kind of controls what the military ends up doing, released a big article this week about how social media is helping destabilize the world. Oh, it's the War College, not the Army College, which is where they train all the people that the generals who gather in their masses, just like witches at black masses, and decide who to kill this week by pointing at maps. And you know, social media helping destabilize the world. I should hope so. You know,
yeah, I mean, absolutely.
If their idea of the world is where flying robots can kill you and they can drop burning white phosphorus and sarin gas on your head, I hope that's destabilized by social media. So, but we're going way beyond that to like Web 27.0, to the singularity, to where you can upload yourself. Now, I've actually heard some kind of liberty people like really criticize transhumanists and people who want to blend with the machine, almost like, you know, implying that it's like the mark of the beast or the work of the devil. Now, you're a Christian. Do you think that, Diana?
No, I don't think that, actually. I think that, you know, I think that we don't really know what's going to happen. And I think that that's the whole idea behind the singularity and it being sort of another way of saying the event horizon. We don't know what happens beyond the event horizon. We don't know what's going to happen. My biggest fear about it is it being a technology that is being controlled by the state.
Yeah, that's my only problem with any technology. And,
yeah,
you know, Davy Barker and I did an episode last night. It had a great title that he came up with, which was that all libertarian humor is gallows humor, because basically all libertarians see the gun of the state pointing at them much more clearly than everyone else all the time. It's kind of like that movie They Live, like we're all wearing, you know, the glasses that can see the skull behind all the people who are running the death policies of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've made some really dark humor about transhumanism, that it would be used by the state to make people serve consecutive life terms, to actually live long enough to serve those 400-year terms they give some people for nonviolent crimes like looking into computer systems.
Right. I heard you mention that earlier on School Sucks.
Yeah. So we got Pablo on there. Does Pablo want to chime in from, is it Toronto? No, it's Quebec. Sorry. I am very sorry. Quebec.
Le Québec libre.
Yeah. Are you a separatist?
Well, you know, that's funny you should say that. You know, I'm not particularly a separatist, but what I would say is that the smaller the state, the better. So from that perspective, yeah, if Quebec were to separate from Canada, it'd be a smaller state. And
maybe it could take some of
I was to separate from Quebec, I would be even happier.
Maybe they could take some of the like really lefty part of Vermont with them.
Yeah, or New Hampshire.
Yeah, they could take all the liberals in New Hampshire who don't like the Free Staters with them.
There you go.
Yeah,
I have a friend that said that any liberals that love progressive policies, that we should just move them all to Detroit.
Yeah,
and it'd be kind of like an escape from a New York kind of scenario.
Yeah,
but it would be escape from Detroit.
If you want a centrally planned world, move to Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so successful.
I like the idea of secession down to the last man. But so what do you have to chime in here, Pablo, on the singularity? What are your thoughts on transhumanism? Well, let's define transhumanism first. It's basically the idea of using advanced technologies to blend humans with machines to the point where they kind of become inseparable. And the idea of things like robots and computers and massively parallel computers that are so intelligent that, I mean, the classic example that Ray Kurzweil gives is that you would have to give them voting rights because they'd resemble humans so much. What do you think of all this, Pablo?
I don't know Mr. Kurzweil, but I bet if you were to ask him, what he would say is that ultimately these future beings that we're talking about are going to be us, right? We're talking about transhumanism. And while the nightmare scenario from the RoboCop and all that, they portray, you know, machines that are, you know, not human, really what we see happening today is really humans becoming closer to machines, right? You have the computer now that is able to access all the information in the world in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's your smartphone. And now it's becoming your Google Glass. And tomorrow it's going to be your, you know, Amazon, you know, what you call them, the contact lens. And then the next thing you're going to know, it's going to be in your brain, right? And your brain is going to be able to access all this information and process things faster. And at that point, well, you're the robot.
You know? I don't want any implants in my brain until the state is gone, though, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where we go back to, you know, the Bitcoin conversation we were having earlier. If you look today at the most powerful computer, it's not Google's, it's not IBM, it is the Bitcoin network.
Yeah, that's
true. The most
true.
Powerful computer on Earth is the network that we call Bitcoin. And in the future, the government will not control the most powerful computer no more than they control Bitcoin today.
And that's proof of the power of the market, of people's desires creating the most powerful and useful things. Because, I mean, the governments of the world, you know, and they work together too. It's not just the U.S. government. They have parallel massive computers that work with other governments too with their computers. You know, the governments can steal as much money as they want. They can print as much money as they want. And even so, all of their computing power together doesn't equal the massive computer that's like everybody's average desktop and laptop from Walmart in their homes connected to do one thing, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. All governments do, they cheat, right? They cheat all the time. They have guns, and also they cheat at the game. They cheat at the game of education. They give you a bad education, but they tell you it's a good one, and it only works for so long. I'm in Canada. Healthcare here is awful. It's the worst healthcare you can get. You wait forever. You die on the waiting list.
Rich people,
you know,
in Canada.
They cheat at the game of healthcare.
Rich people in Canada, not even just rich people, but people with some money in Canada, if they have a life-threatening illness, they sneak into America and get healthcare, right?
Politicians, people with money, everybody who can afford it, they do not get their healthcare in Canada. You don't hear about people, oh, I'm going to take a nice vacation in Canada to get my cancer, you know, taken care of.
But
no, they go in Asia and they go to Dubai or wherever to do their, you know, healthcare, fancy, rich people healthcare thing.
No, but middle class people here sneak into Canada to buy their cancer medication because it's cheaper there.
Yeah, that's because Canada, the government is cheating and it's just giving away medication that they can't afford to give away because, you know, that medication is expensive. Now, a lot of people in Canada like that because it's free for them. But what they don't realize is that the whole country is going broke because of it. And, you know, when everybody's on welfare and the economy is all depressed and everybody wonders, oh, I wonder why we don't have any money and the United States, they're so rich down there. It's not fair. You know, the United States should give us money. Well, it's because we've been giving away everything that the government is, you know, been doing for like years and years and years. At some point, it's not sustainable.
It ends up being Detroit. And Detroit is right now, isn't there a bridge to nowhere from Detroit or to Detroit from Canada?
I don't know. I've never been in Detroit.
There, I know there's a bridge from Detroit to Windsor.
Yeah, and it's...
but it's kind of nowhere. Windsor's kind of nowhere.
Yeah. So do you guys believe in an afterlife? And regardless of whether you do, do you want to live forever through the machines?
You're asking both of us?
I'll ask Diana first.
Do I believe there's an afterlife?
Yeah.
I... I like to believe that, put it that way.
You're a Christian and you're not absolutely sure there's an afterlife?
I mean, if any Christian says that they're absolutely certain, I have a really hard time believing that.
No, I'm kind of intrigued. I kind of like this because most Christians I've met, and I've met a lot of them. I've had a lot of them in my family. I went to a religious boarding school. I've had a lot of contact with Christians where they talked about faith.
Yeah.
And they're all absolutely sure and have
Well, you know, I don't know. Evidence. I mean, I have doubts about that. I think that and not to diss other Christians or anything like that. I mean, I know a few Christians that are more like me that aren't blindly faithful necessarily. I don't know for sure, and I think that's where faith comes in. You know, I have faith. You know, I believe in God, and I do have faith that there is an afterlife, but I don't know for sure. If I knew for sure, I wouldn't need faith.
So do you have any interest, Diana, in living longer than the average human lifespan?
Heck yeah.
Cool. That's a pretty clear answer. How about you, Pablo? Yeah. Pablo,
I think Diana's being honest. I think a lot of Christians probably have their doubts, but when asked, you know, they don't dare say it. Right. And Diana's just being very honest.
Ben Stone is the same kind of honest. You two are about the only Christians I've ever met, Diana and Ben Stone, who are not absolutely positive there's an afterlife.
No, I mean, it's a matter of faith. And I think that a lot of Christians are just repeating the dogma that they hear over and over and over again throughout their lives. You know, they've been indoctrinated, essentially. And so, I I'm not saying that what they believe or their faith is any you know, less valid than what mine is. I'm just saying that I've never been that kind of a believer. And I've kind of dabbled in lots of different beliefs and faiths. I can't say for sure. I like to believe it, and I follow that path because I'm happier following that path. But no, I mean, if pressed, I would say I don't know for sure. I hope so.
And Pablo, do you want to live longer than the average human lifespan?
I plan on living forever.
I don't know if I do. My dad's 93, so I might have the genes to live a long, pretty healthy human life. He's still pretty healthy, and he's still pretty mentally aware. I'm actually going to have him call in on the Fiends, I think, this weekend. I think that'd be kind of fun. We don't usually take calls, but that'd be good.
With the exception of Diana, she sounds a lot younger, but you and I are in our 40s and 50s. I think, you know, people who are younger than 50-year-old have a very good chance on potentially living forever.
Huh. Yeah, that's what Kurzweil says. Kurzweil, I think, has missed the cutoff by a few years, though. He's going to have to take a lot of vitamins to make it. If I were him, I wouldn't leave the house either. I'd have everything brought to me and have a poison tester to test it first to make sure you don't get any bad shellfish. We'll be back with more. Why don't you stick around, Pablo? This is going well.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
And that is the sound of my soul uploading into the singularity. Yeah, that's what it's going to sound like. Yeah, the rap. We should come out with some software called Rapture 2.0 where you can just upload your soul. So is the rapture in the Bible, or is that just something that crazy people made up?
Well, it's an interpretation of certain scripture in the Bible that people think it means the rapture. Something about being caught up in the clouds or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly where it is, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. So Pablo, you're calling in. You sound, what kind of a microphone are you using? You sound pretty good.
I am calling in on my HP laptop, and I'm using the little dot on the screen there that is, I believe, the microphone.
Oh, wow. Oh, you sound so good.
I'm using Skype.
A little bit, yeah, that's why it sounds good. You're a little bit of background noise, like it kind of sounds like you're near a river, but it's really quiet. And the people listening on the radio probably don't hear that. It'll probably go on the podcast, though, because I don't use compression before the Skype on this. But, you know, that's all part of the miracle of the big, giant analog system that is radio. So, Pablo, tell me more about the singularity and what it means to you. Have you accepted the singularity into your heart, Pablo?
Oh, God.
I have. I am a convert. And, you know, I will say this. A lot of people who believe, and I'm using the word carefully here, in the singularity are technologists, very, you know, logical, you know, square kind of, you know, this is how it is. And yet, I believe the singularity is a belief. And so if you were to ask me my religion, I would say that I am a singularitarian. I hope and believe that one day whatever rapture or godhood awaits us all is going to come through technology. And, you know, that might be deluded to some people, but to us singularitarian, that is what's ahead of us, I believe.
I think you need to meet a good Christian girl to make an honest man out of you.
I will try to do so. I met Diana at the Toronto Bitcoin Expo.
Did you exchange phone numbers or email addresses?
No, I was too shy.
Well, during the break, stick around and maybe, well, I don't want to like pimp out my co-host or anything, but Diana, do you have any desire to meet this young fella on email and talk to him later?
I don't know. He has kind of a weird accent.
Oh, he's French-Canadian.
I'm French-Canadian. I'm part French-Canadian. I'm part French-Canadian and I'm part English and part Irish. So I am like, separatism is in my DNA, and I constantly am at war with myself because I'm English and Irish and I'm French Canadian. So, yeah, French Canadian are good people.
You should declare independence, okay. Right?
I don't know. I think that could be considered treason because people might think I'm denouncing my U.S. citizenship, and I'm still holding on to my U.S. citizenship in theory and in writing and on paper for now to see what it can get me. Other than Gitmo.
Have you researched what it would take to denounce your citizenship?
Little bit. I know that there's two different things that get confused a lot. Denouncing your citizenship, renouncing your citizenship, and just giving up your citizenship. Like when you become a citizen of another country and you don't have dual citizenship, you have to give up your U.S. citizenship. But that is not the same as renouncing or denouncing your U.S. citizenship, mm-hmm. which is an act of treason and is punishable by being hanged by the neck, actually.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I want to upload to the blockchain and get away from all governments. You know, you cannot not have a nationality in this world. It's impossible for very long. And the UN actually has a method for assigning, this is one of the services the UN provides, is assigning a temporary nationality to somebody if they are stateless. Like, for instance, if you're in a country that dissolves in a civil war and the new king or president wants to kill your ethnic peoples, and you don't have anywhere to go and you're, you know, seeking asylum, like literally you are stateless, like your passport no longer is valid and is not recognized by that country, the UN will assign one for you. You cannot be stateless. I mean, a lot of people kind of sovereign citizens types, and there's people who declare that they are stateless, but technically and legally there's some country that usually still claims them. And in the rare situation that someone becomes stateless by something that's outside of their purview, the UN will assign a state to you because they're just that statist. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark. Call in if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yep. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready to rock? This is Michael Dean After Dark, and we are rocking with our guns out. So, Pablo, you are... first of all, this is kind of cool news. These two exchanged email addresses, and they're going to chitty-chat and go on a virtual date. So
I'm all excited.
Yeah, so
Diana's going to Porkfest, so I'm going too now.
Okay. Oh, excellent, man. Michael Dean After Dark, hooking people up. That's what we do here. Sometimes people call in and it's like the libertarian Dear Abby. People have like, you know, family problems and ask for advice. And now it's kind of turning into like the dating show. I kind of like that. So, you know, if you're liberty loves company, I guess. So, that's good, man. That's good. You know, if you,
you know what happens on dating sites?
What?
There's a very, very, you know, important thing that happens on dating site. You meet someone you like and you think, oh, his name is Christian. What a nice name, right? I love the name. And you reach out to him and you turn out that, you know, his name is not Christian. He was faking his name.
Or he's very unchristian and he's actually more like Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to come clean on the air. My name is not Pablo.
What is it? Satan?
It's Christian.
Really? What, were you shy or something?
I was shy. I mean, you know, you've got this nationally syndicated show that's
in
broadcast
one station,
worldwide.
In one state, in one city, in Paducah, Kentucky, and Cairo, Illinois, on one station.
I love Kentucky. I was there just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Rand Paul is a senator from Kentucky, and he's not his dad, but he plays him on TV.
He wants to be his dad.
So,
but he's not doing it right.
Pablo, I mean, so Christian, is that Christian? Is that your real name?
It is Christian.
Is that your Christian name?
That is my Christian name. It is my name. And it is, yep.
Well, cool. I hope honesty pays off and Diana likes you. And, you know, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, is going to be at Porkfest. And he is a licensed minister in the Universal Life Church. So if you guys... are ready to get married by Porkfest, he could officiate, and he accepts Bitcoin and silver for performing that, and I think he charges like $20. So, yeah. So, can you own guns? Are you an American citizen, or what are you? What are you, boy?
I am a U.S. person.
What the heck does that mean?
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
I have a green card, which means I'm a permanent resident.
Is it actually green?
It is actually green.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Well, it's like, you know, green and white, but you know, there's a lot of green.
You foreigners coming here and taking our jobs. What do you do? What's your job you're taking from an American?
I'm an entrepreneur. I build decentralized solutions on the Bitcoin blockchain.
You didn't build that.
Obama did not help me one bit. In fact,
he's probably in your way of doing it.
Yeah, Obama's a zero bit. That's what he's doing.
So you're probably not taking jobs from Americans because Americans are probably doing that. I know I'm doing that with Derek, but you're trying to put me out of business, though. So
I'm trying to build jobs for Americans. But you know what? It's really hard. The government does not want people like me to come here invest money, and try to build businesses. Right now I've got Chile and Switzerland wanting my business. And I'm here in the U.S. and I love the U.S. I don't want to go to Chile or Switzerland, but I might end up going to Chile or Switzerland because they want my business more than the United States.
If all other things considered, I would take Switzerland over Chile because Chile has a history of dictators who like to cut off people's heads in the not too distant past. And Switzerland is the only country in Europe that has gun laws kind of like America. Like, they kind of still have a right to bear arms there.
Something that Diana and I found out this weekend was that...
Wait. What do you mean you found out this weekend? I thought you just met on this show.
We did, but we were at the Bitcoin Expo.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
At the Bitcoin Expo, Diana, you were there, right?
Yes.
All right.
I was.
So... If you were in the conference at the Bitcoin Expo, you would know that Switzerland is organizing something they call the Crypto Valley, which they're trying to attract entrepreneurs to build, you know, Bitcoin type technology.
So it's like the Silicon Valley in Switzerland for Bitcoin and Bitcoin related technologies.
Exactly.
I like it.
They're calling it the Crypto Valley.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Sign me up, man. Yeah, I've been to Switzerland. I really liked it. I had an interesting situation there that's probably not very radio friendly when I was playing with my band Bomb in Innsbruck. Well, that was Austria, actually. But no, I had some fun in Switzerland, too. You know, my wife and I went to hear Ray Kurzweil speak at the Pasadena College in California. And we were so bored, we left halfway through and went and made love in the bushes. Outside the college.
That's hardcore.
That is hardcore.
In the bushes?
Yeah, on the college campus. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, scare all the youngsters. Oh, no, there's old people doing it in the bushes. Yeah. All right. So can you
own... Terrifying.
Can an American... What are you, a U.S. person, an American person? What are you called?
Yeah, the definition of a U.S. person is a very vague term that the IRS came up with.
Ah, of course they did.
Yeah, essentially means whoever they want to tax, they can tax. And they decided that now that I have a green card, even if I move out of the U.S. and go to Switzerland and I start a company over there instead of starting it in New Hampshire, then they want to tax me just because,
wow.
You know, I've had
it's
a green card.
It's like a virus. It's like herpes.
Mm, it is.
It's like financial herpes. Like, once you get it, you can't get rid of it. Can you get rid of it? If you need
to? Yes, I need to renounce my green card.
Renounce your U.S. personhood. So
that's right.
Can you own a gun?
I can own a gun, but I am not allowed to conceal and carry it, at least in North Carolina.
I wonder about in other states, like Wyoming does not require a permit to conceal carry, and neither does Vermont or Alaska and Arizona. I think are the four states where I wonder if you could legally. I think in Wyoming you probably legally could. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not giving legal advice, but I think the definition here is that anyone who is not a prohibited person by law can carry here. And I don't think a prohibited person means like convicted felon or habitual drug user.
Concealed carry or open carry or both?
You can do both here without a permit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
I've actually, when we were filming the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, we had Nima, you know, who looks very Persian, which kind of freaks people out in the West sometimes, you know, because he has a beard and he looks Middle Eastern, but he had a very well trimmed beard and hair at the time, and he put on a suit, and we went down to the gas station and filmed him open carrying a scoped deer rifle on a sling on his back while pumping gas into his car that has a Ron Paul bumper sticker on it. And I wish we'd filmed for the making of. I wasn't filming at the time, but two rednecks in a pickup truck said, "You're going to get shot, boy." And I don't think they were like saying, "I'm going to shoot you." I think they were like warning us, you know, like, be careful doing that. It's kind of weird.
Adam Kokesh got worse by doing that in D.C.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, like, literally what he went to jail for in D.C., you could do in Wyoming all day long. Although, you know, I don't know, if you did it in front of government buildings, they might come over and question you. But, yeah. I don't think he's in front of government buildings. I don't think Freedom Plaza or Liberty Plaza or whatever is government buildings, is it? Or is just everything in D.C. is a government building? You ever been to D.C., either of you?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I used to live there. I lived there for a while. It was heinous.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I lived in a really bad crack neighborhood in what I call the summer of crack. Which was the summer that the mayor got caught busted on camera with a prostitute smoking crack.
Marion Barry. And then he was elected again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
not unlike the mayor of Toronto, right?
Was he elected again? Or is he just fighting to not leave? Is he still the mayor of Toronto?
Yeah, I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah. So
Pablo,
yoga.
Christian, whatever your name is.
Pablo Christian.
I don't know.
It'll be Pablo if you go to Chile, and it'll be Christian if you go to Switzerland.
Christian.
Yeah. Do you speak Swiss French?
I do not.
Oh.
I'll figure it out.
Well, then you cannot buy heroin in the park there. There's a park there called Needle Park in some big town in Switzerland where they basically, like, heroin is not legal, but it's not illegal. And if you speak Swiss French in that park, the police will not arrest you for buying or using heroin. But if you are a tourist, they will arrest you.
Can I put a Swiss French private heroin vending machine?
I doubt it.
Tax free.
Tax free. Nah, they probably tax the heroin there in Switzerland. That's how progressive they are.
Ah, darn them.
So what's the difference between – I know that German, Italian, and French are all three spoken, and I know that there's a particular brand of German that's called Swiss German, but I wasn't aware that there was a Swiss French. Is that different than French French?
You know, I'm from Quebec, and, you know, the French make a whole lot of fun of French Canadian because of our accent.
Yeah, we did. So. I had a French Canadian guy translate and voice the Free Speech Me video that I did, and some of the comments were in French making fun of the accent. It's kind of like, you know, Americans how they deal with a Southern accent, or like, you know, Americans how they'd respond to an English accent or an Australian accent in English, I think. Wouldn't you say?
But I think Diana will like it, you know, when we meet in New Hampshire.
Yeah. How will you know? Are you going to, like, wear a corsage or something? How will she recognize you?
I'm going to have a Bitcoin t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. You'll be the guy at Porkfest with a Bitcoin t-shirt. Yeah. She'll end up making out with Davy Barker.
Yeah, you'll be really easy to pick out, I'm sure. No one else will be wearing one.
You could wear one that's in French. How do you say Bitcoin in French? Bitcoin?
Le Bitcoin.
Le Bitcoin.
It's like Le Big Mac.
Yeah, well, you know, the guy who invented Namecoin is French, from France.
I did not know that.
Yep, his name is Kahl, K-H-A-L or K-A-H-L, I'm not sure which, but I've chatted with him a little bit on email. Yeah, he lives in France. We'll be back with the final segment of Michael Dean versus Darkness when we get back on the Bitcoin airwaves.
Le Bitcoin.
Le Bitcoin.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yep. It's that time. It's the redemption in the third act. The denouement. Christian, how do you say that word? Denouement.
The troisième acte.
What's that mean?
The third act.
Yeah. How do you say the redemption in the third act?
La rédemption dans le troisième acte.
It just sounds like you're making it up. It just sounds like you're taking English words and putting a French accent on them. Are you really French Canadian?
I think it's the other way around.
You think?
I just think English language has stolen so many French words, it's just not fair. I want some Bitcoins back.
No, we borrow them.
Oh, true.
Actually, the English borrowed them, and then the Americans stole them. So I'm going to be wearing a pink gun at Porkfest. I'm man enough to do that.
Can't wait to see it.
Well, it's basically I don't want to travel with a gun. We're locking the guns up in a safe, and we have somebody house-sitting and cat-sitting that we're paying to hang out here. We're paying someone to hang out at our house. But, yeah, Ben Stone's wife is lending me a pink-handled revolver. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Oh.
I don't
care. They have Hello Kitty revolvers. I really want one of those.
In Quebec, no one's allowed to have a revolver.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. You have to have, like, a specific job, like you're guarding money or something like that in order to be able to license to have a... At least, I think one of the easiest way to get one is if you can make a case that you are doing it. You need a revolver for, like, sporting, you know, contests and stuff like that. Then you can get one. Otherwise, you know, an average citizen cannot get a revolver in Quebec.
What about the rest of Canada?
I think it's pretty much the same across Canada. You can get, like, shotgun and stuff like that for defense against animals, but you are not allowed across Canada to get a firearm in order to defend your property. If you use that as your excuse or your reason to want to buy one, the merchant cannot sell you a firearm in Canada.
Yeah. And there's some countries where, like in Ireland, to have a gun, you have to join a gun club and you have to prove that you have no relatives in the IRA and you have to keep the gun at the gun club, like in their safe.
Wow.
Yeah. And it takes like a year to be able to get one. Like you have to join the gun club and, you know, not just take safety classes, but like take patriotism classes and prove that you're a good person and love the government.
Yeah, to transport a firearm in Canada, you need also to file your route. I'm going from my home to my shooting range or whatever, right?
Wow.
You cannot transport that on the public roads without
filing some paper. You know what it takes to buy an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle with a 30-round mag in Wyoming? Money.
Money?
Money. Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy it in a store here, they do you need an ID, you need an in-state ID, and they do a quick background check, and on the spot, you can buy it. Or you can go to a gun show and buy it without the background check. It's pretty cool. I like it. That's how it should be.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, you can go in a store here and buy a handgun and buy bullets for it, and you can go out in the parking lot and put the bullets in it and put it in your pocket and walk around legally. That's all legal here.
Do they sell pink guns?
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, they do sell pink guns.
That sounds like what Lib Pear might be like.
Yeah, or like the Old West. And this was the Old West. Actually, part of Wyoming was part of Texas at one time. Texas was pretty big. Came all the way up to Cheyenne. That was Texas, man. So what are you guys hopeful about in the future? Christian, what are you hopeful about?
You guys all became very jumbled up. While Skype has been doing a good job, the last 30 seconds were all weird.
It was the government. Yeah. I blame the government. So what
it was that way for me, too.
What are you hopeful about, Christian, other than meeting this cute American girl?
I'm hopeful Diana likes me, and I'm hopeful that what we're seeing with the rise of Bitcoins right now is going to spread out to the rest of online businesses. And one day, you will be able to do transactions online without the government being able to know what we're doing.
Cool. Diana, say worms.
Worms.
Worms. Okay, all three together now. One, two, three. Worms.
The worms.
The worms. The worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.